morning. If you have your Bibles and you want to follow along, we'll be in Matthew chapter 9 this morning. Matthew chapter 9, we'll read some verses there about some things Jesus has to say in just a second. While you're turning there, I'd like to just say, well, it's already been said, but just welcome to everyone here. We have several of our own members out of town. I think we're on the tail end of fall break still. And so we have several that I know are out of town and traveling. Then we also have several visitors with us. We're thankful that you're here. We hope that while you're here, you find a group of God's people simply trying to follow God's word. That's all we're trying to do here. Nothing more, nothing less. Just worship Him and serve Him the way that He is intended to be served and the way He wants us to. You know, I have to say, I'm excited about, you know, Gwen just bragged on you, so I guess I'll brag in just a second. I'm excited about what's coming here in the next year or so. The elders and I met, and we planned some things out. We're meeting with the deacons and everything today, and I'm excited for the next year. We've come a long way. Some things we'll talk about today from this past year, even from last year. But looking forward, it's a bright future for Marion Street. And we've got a good group heading in a good direction. Sometimes we lose sight of that because we come week after week and we see the same people, we do the same things. But we have a great group of God's people here that are serving God every day. And don't lose sight of that and the good that's being done in God's kingdom, because there's always work to be done, as we'll see this morning, and there's always things to move on to. Today I'm going to start with a confession. Something I have dropped the ball on since I've been here. And I'll start with telling you just a backstory. I grew up in Southern California, Orange County, California, where there are thousands and thousands and thousands of people. One of the more densely populated areas in this country. I grew up in a place where I was the only Christian that went to my school. Where I was one of a handful of kids at the church. Churches were a little more spread out than they are here in Limestone County. Then I went to Tampa, Florida, and I went to a Christian school where I was surrounded by Christians, but still a densely populated area where there was lots of evangelizing to do, lots of teaching to do. Started working in San Jose, which is more densely populated than Orange County, California, where, again, if we're using the term that you see on the screen there, that the harvest was ready. There were people there ready to listen to the gospel, that were interested in the gospel, and there was opportunities all over the place. And then I moved here. And there's nothing against this area, but the very first day I was here, I remember our truck, the moving truck coming from California, was 3 weeks behind schedule. And so Brooke and I said, well, we got to bite the bullet. We got to go get some things. We have to cook some food and we need some clothes. And so we went to Kohl's. And I'll never forget that day walking into Kohl's, I saw a man, an older man, fall down. And my first reaction was, Brooke, you take Landon inside. Let me make sure he's okay. And I sat with him for a few minutes while his wife went and got the car. And I started talking to this man, and it turns out he was a preacher in the Church of Christ. I forget his name. I know the Metcalfs know him, but I don't think they're here this morning because I guess the wife remembered me being the new preacher at Marion Street. But so he, and it kind of hit me. It's my first day, and I met a Christian. And then I started, you know, every day after that, it seems like almost everywhere I went, I was meeting a Christian. I was meeting a member of the church. I was meeting somebody who went to a Church of Christ or just a church in this area. And I started finding myself doing something that I have severely been lacking. I have started finding myself making excuses on why not to reach out to certain people. That when you read these verses that we'll read in just a moment, and we say the harvest is ready, we know that Jesus is talking about the people, and we say that there's people out there that need to be sought out, they need to be taught the gospel, they need to obey the gospel. I started hearing certain things as I started living here that I had just kind of tucked back in my mind, and I've used them as excuses not to reach out to other people. And that's a couple things along the lines of, well, almost everyone's a member of the church in this area. And if they're not a member of the Church of Christ, not the denominational mindset that some people put on the Church of Christ, but the Church of Christ we read about in the Bible, that is the body of baptized believers that we see laid out to us in the New Testament scriptures, then they're part of a church. And the other excuse I told myself is there's a lot of people who aren't interested in what I have to say because they already know better. And I've been told that several times. I don't need to hear what you have to say. I go to this church. I know better. I know what we believe, and you believe what you believe, and I'll believe what I believe. And what I've done is I've used those two things as an excuse just not to reach out. And then I look at what we're doing this year, and really what we did last year. Let's not forget where we came from last year, where our theme was raising the standard. What I have done is I have lowered God's standard of the harvest being ready, where He needs laborers, and I have removed myself from the workforce of the Lord's kingdom and said that there are excuses that I'm using to just not do the work. And I was focusing my work on other places, but I was failing in one drastic place that the Lord asked us to be workers in His kingdom. And as I continued to think about some of these things the last several weeks, I thought, well, I have lowered the standard for myself. It's something I haven't taught on, something I haven't preached on. We're talking about serving God and serving His kingdom, and there's one aspect that we have waited to bring up until today. And really, what we are going to do as a congregation is we've looked in the future and said that there's been such a hole in this aspect of the Lord's kingdom at Marion Street, we're going to spend a whole year on it at some point in the future, in the next couple years. And that is trying to reach out to others. I want us to look at what Jesus says here in Matthew chapter 9. In Matthew chapter 9, as Jesus is healing these sick people, there's in the verses before, He restores a girl to life and a woman is healed, and there's two blind men that are healed, and He makes a mute man be able to speak again. And it's miracle after miracle. And he sees the state of affairs that this world has come to. That there's sickness, there is sin, and there are things that need to be taken care of. And it says in verse 35, Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. Then He said to His disciples, "The harvest is truly plentiful." Some of your versions will say what you see on the screen: "The harvest is ready, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into His harvest." The Lord brings up, I think, a sobering aspect of the kingdom that is still there today. And that is, there are people that should be part of the Lord's kingdom. The multitudes, as He looked out, and He had compassion on these multitudes. As He went from city to city and village to village, He was just confronted and met with all these multitudes of people who were sick and who were suffering, not just physically, but I think more importantly, spiritually. And that's why I think Matthew puts in there, He was not just healing the sick, but He was teaching the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom, the good news of the kingdom. And as He looked out on all these people, He felt sorry for them. It says that he had compassion for them. Because there was a few reasons. He says, they're scattered. They're wandering. They're weary. I think what He's concluding, and if we look at the society we live in today, it still stands true. What He's concluding here is there's no one to lead them. Think about a flock of sheep. That's often how we think of things, especially when He brings up the idea of a shepherd. Think of a flock of sheep with no shepherd. They have no purpose. They're weary. They just go from place to place. They roam. That there's no one there to kind of hold them together. And I think what we see today is when we look out at society, the world needs Christian leaders. And what I mean by Christian leaders, the world needs people to step up, those laborers that he talks about. When he looks out at all these people and he says, there's all these sheep that have gone astray. And there's nobody, there's no workers, there's no laborers, he says. The harvest is ready, but there's nobody to take care of it. He says, the world needs more leaders, more workers, and more laborers. Because he pointed out that the people, they were just wandering. The people were just, they were going from place to place. They had no purpose. Spiritually, they had no purpose. He says that they're weary, they're tired. He says that they were just scattered about. There was nobody kind of bringing them in for a purpose, for a plan. There was no leader telling them that this is what needs to be done. This is how you obey the gospel or whatever the situation was. And then you look at those three things that Jesus brings up, that these sheep were just wandering about. They were tired and weary. They were scattered. There's nobody leading them. Can you see those same things in our society today? It's easy to look out and to see the state of affairs in not just our country, but in our world and say there's people that are wandering about and they have no purpose. They have no clue what direction they're headed in life. We as Christians know the direction we're heading is up, right? That's what we say and what we teach and what we preach on. Our goal is heaven. That's our purpose. We're not wandering, Lord willing, but we're headed for a goal. But there's people out there that are wandering. There's people out there that are weary, that are tired, that are sick. Spiritually need help, spiritually need guidance. There's people out there that are scattered. They're away from the Lord. Their shepherd, the good shepherd, we read about in John chapter 10, they have gone astray. We all know people that fit this category. And then Jesus gives us the charge. He looks out at all these people. He says, the harvest is ready. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. He's saying, I need workers to go out and to get these people, to teach these people, to help these people, to mend these people. Whatever the situation is, he says, I need laborers. The harvest is ready. The harvest is there. The people are there. It's the laborers who are few. Now let's go back to my attitude that I said at the very beginning. It's the exact opposite of what the Lord just said. I made the excuse that the harvest is in need. There's not enough people. Because almost everywhere you go, there's a Christian. Almost everywhere you go, there's someone who knows better and they don't want to hear what you have to say. And so me as a laborer, I'm a willing laborer, but I'm going to remove myself from the situation because I just can't find enough opportunities. That is not what the Lord says. He says the harvest is ready. And who am I to argue with the Lord? The harvest is ready. The harvest is plentiful. There are enough people out there. Yes, even here in Limestone County, Alabama, there are enough people out there. The problem has been and always will be the laborers are few. But when you look at the kinds of people that are there, sometimes it gets overwhelming. And sometimes the task almost seems insurmountable. And this morning, what I want us to do, I want us to remember where we've been as a congregation and where we're moving forward, not just as a congregation, but as individuals. To remember that last year we spent a whole year focusing on raising the standard, not lowering it. That we spent an entire year of raising ourselves to the standard that God has set in place. And here He has set a standard. The harvest is ready, it's the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into His harvest. And here's what we do with that. Our prayers are for the preachers, because that's their job, that's what we pay them for. Preacher, go into the harvest. Our prayers are for the shepherds, elders, That's why we appoint them to these positions. They're shepherds over their flock. They're in charge of getting the scattered back to the flock. They're in charge of teaching and comforting the weary and the wandering and all of those things. So we pray for the shepherds and the work they do with the flock, the preacher. We pray for those foreign evangelists because they're out in the world doing the good work of the gospel. We have a nice board back there. We support some good preachers in different countries. And I'm speaking only to myself with this next point, but how often do I pray for myself to be one of the laborers? And that's a question everyone needs to ask themselves. How often do I pray for myself? When the Lord tells us, He's given us a standard, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into His harvest. How often when I pray for the harvest, that is the people in this earth that need to hear and obey the gospel, how often do we pray for the shepherds, the preachers, the foreign evangelists, and all those things, but forget to pray for ourselves? I do. I forget to pray for myself. But what the Lord says is, I need laborers. The harvest is ready, He says in verse 37. Luke chapter 10 would say a very similar thing in verse 2. He said to him, the harvest truly is great, or plentiful, or bountiful. The laborers are few. And again, it says, just like we just read, pray for the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into His harvest. John chapter 4 would say again something very similar. It says, Do you not say, there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and see the fields, for they are already white for harvest. I love what he says there because it hits me in the heart directly. In other words, he's saying, you have every excuse in the book not to go out to the harvest. He's saying, but lift up your eyes. No more excuses. We can't say, oh, 4 more months and then the harvest will come. I'll worry about it later. He's saying, no, lift up your eyes and see. See right now, the harvest is ready. It's already white for harvest. Talking about those fields of grain. And how when they grow, the grain heads get this beautiful white color on them. And he says, you can look out over the field and you could see that the harvest is white. It's ready. It's ready to be cut down and harvested. We just need people to go out and do the work. Lift up your eyes and see. In other words, what he's telling us is, it's time to get to work. There's a story of Old Mother Hen. Old Mother Hen was growing some wheat. She wanted to grow some wheat, and she asked, the version I had growing up, there was a dog, a cat, and a mouse. And she asked the dog, the cat, and the mouse, who will help me plant these seeds? And they said, not I, said the dog, not I, said the cat, not I, said the mouse. And she says, I'll plant the seed. And then it came time to water. Who will help me water the seed? Not I, said the dog. Okay, so you get the point. And it goes all the way through the steps. Who's going to help me plant the seed? Water the seed. The seed grew. Who's going to help me cut the wheat? Who's going to help me pound the wheat? Now she has flour. Who's going to help me make the bread? Who's going to help me cook the bread? And every step, not I, said the dog. Not I, said the cat. Not I, said the mouse. Well, who will help me eat the bread? I will, said the dog. I will, says the cat. I will, says the mouse. Guess what? They didn't get me. I often wonder, I can't put words in the Lord's mouth. I can't put thoughts in His mind. He already knows how this is going to work out. But I often wonder how He will look at people who will go teach, says the Lord. Not I, says Kevin. Who will go to the harvest, says the Lord? Well, not I. He says, lift up your eyes and see. No more excuses. We live in a society that we want the work to be done for us. No one wants to get the ground ready and get the seed ready and plant the seed and water the seed and pull the weeds and keep planting and keep watering. That's too much work. We just want the results. I am a horrible gardener. I love planting the seeds, and after that I want nature to do the rest. Why can't it rain more often? I don't want to go out and water every day. I want the fruit. I want the tomatoes, I want everything from my garden, but I don't want to do the work. And sometimes that's how we view the Lord's kingdom. But Jesus says the harvest is ready. The harvest is white and ready to be planted or to be harvested. I think it's interesting when Paul looks at some of these things and he's talking to the Christians in Corinth. He didn't take credit for anything that was done. He says it was God that gave the increase. And we teach those and we say, well really it's God's work that needs to be done. God has to give the increase. But he did point out one very important thing. He didn't sit by and just wait for God to do all the work. He said, no, I planted, Apollos watered, and it was God who gave the increase. In other words, he's saying, we were out there in the field. We were planting. We were watering. Now, ultimately, it's up to God to give the increase and whether that seed that's planted in the heart is going to take form and take root. He said, but it takes work. And we had to plant and water. What Jesus is really telling us there in Matthew chapter 9 is he needs our help. Jesus needs our help to go out into the kingdom and teach the good news, to teach the gospel. It's one of the very last things that he tells his apostles in Matthew chapter 28. He says, go into all the world, go to all nations, teaching them the commandments that I have given to you, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He gives them two tasks to do. He says, go into the world and teach them and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He gave the responsibility to his disciples to take the message of the gospel and to send it forth, to take it to all the corners of this world. The responsibility is left to us to drive the gospel forward. We plant, we water, God will give the increase. And yet he says, the laborers are few. I wonder why. Is it because there's not enough? I don't think that's the case. You look out, especially over a county like this, there are thousands of Christians. You think about all the places in the world where people are meeting just like we are, following the same book we are, serving the same God we are. It's not a matter of there are not enough Christians, there are not enough laborers, because the laborers are there. The willingness maybe isn't. Unfortunately, I think too many of us have lowered the standard. Too many of us have looked out at the great task to teach those who need to be taught the gospel of Christ, and we have lowered the standard. And I know for me, it's time to put my ego aside, and I need to be willing to put my trust in Jesus Christ and spread the seed of the gospel. And it's not up for me to decide who is willing or not willing or who is open to hearing the seeds of the gospel. It's my job to teach the gospel. And if I plant and water, then God will give the increase. And there are so many reasons why we choose not to spread the gospel. It might be fear of being told no. It might be a lack of knowledge. It might be just not knowing what to say. But if there's one thing that we could see from these, we read Matthew chapter 9 together, John 4 was on the screen, Luke 10 was on the screen, three times in the Gospels, he says, the harvest is ready, it's the laborers who are few. We need to lift up our eyes. What he's telling us is this world needs people to teach Jesus. It will always need people to teach Jesus. Jesus needs leaders in this congregation. He needs shepherds who are going to shepherd his way. They need teachers who are going to teach his way in this congregation. God needs preachers who will preach his way, who will sow the seeds of the kingdom to those willing to listen. But it doesn't stop there. God needs every member to pull together and do their part, like we read about in 1 Corinthians, that although the body is many members, we are one body working together. And God needs every laborer to do his part. God needs leaders in families. God needs strong men in his families to teach their kids what it means to love God and serve Christ. God needs moms, who I know sometimes it's hard to come sit in a service like this because kids are fussy and antsy, they're screaming. But God needs those moms and dads to do exactly what they're doing right now, to teach their kids that there's no place they'd rather be than here, serving God. God needs all these kids to remind us adults what it means to be joyful and to be happy, to sing songs like "I'm happy today and Jesus loves me." God needs you older ones to teach us younger ones what it means to serve, a lifelong service in the kingdom. God needs you older women to teach the younger women how to be mothers. That's what Paul tells us. God needs you older men to teach us younger men how to be fathers, how to be servants. God needs us younger people to take the load from the older people, to give them the rest they deserve. They've been working for years. Younger people, it's time for us to take the load from them and keep moving forward. God needs younger people who are willing to take instructions from those older, who have been there, done that, who have seen it. God needs every single one of us to go out into his harvest and start working. Sometimes that means you're inviting someone to a Bible study. Maybe you're inviting them to church. That's not the cure-all. It used to be what everyone just said. Invite someone to church. That's what's going to get them baptized. Well, that's not necessarily the case. But what God does need is he needs you to let your light shine so that people could see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. God needs to see his group of people speaking about Jesus, acting like Jesus. And yes, maybe the time will come where the Bible comes up. You might surprise yourself and be able to teach more than you think you can teach. What God needs is people who are willing to not lower the standard to where we think it should be, but raise ourselves to the standard that God has put in place to go out and be workers in his kingdom. God needs people who are willing to lift up their eyes, see the work that needs to be done. Not everyone, Paul will say this as well, not everyone is an evangelist, is a shepherd, is a prophet, is a teacher. But everybody, every part of the body has something that they could do for the Lord's kingdom. Maybe you're the planter. Let someone else water. Maybe you have a friend or a family member who you've been talking to for quite some time. You just don't know how to get them to a Bible study or don't know what to say. Let someone else take over. Paul said, "I didn't do this all by myself. I planted, Apollos watered." But they were working. God needs leaders who are willing to go out into the harvest and get to work. God needs leaders who are willing to go out into the scattered and weary and lonely sheep and bring them back to the flock. We look out and we see a harvest that is ready. Then it's time for us to be the workers that God intended us to be. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, or chapter 3 and verse 9, it says, "We are God's fellow workers. You are God's field and you are God's building." In Titus chapter 2 and verse 14, it says that Jesus gave himself for us that we might be a redeemed people from every lawless deed, zealous for good works. Jesus has saved us. Jesus has taken us into his own possession. Another part of that verse says he has purified us for his own possession, zealous for good works, to go out and to do the gospel. I often think about how seriously I take different aspects of my life. That there are things in my life I will give 110% on. There are just certain things. I want you to think about how hard did we work to get through school? You work every day going to class. You have homework. You have tests that you're studying for. Hopefully you worked hard. I don't know. I kind of took the first 2 years of college off to have some fun, and then I buckled down after that. Don't listen to that this row. But how hard do we work to get a degree? We understand going to school, there's work to be done. We're going to do it. We're going to get our grade. We want good grades. How hard will we work at our jobs to get ahead, to make more money, to get a raise, to get extra vacation time? We work hard. We'll put hours and hours and hours of time in overtime to make sure that we are impressing our boss, that we are doing the things. I even do it. I don't have traditional bosses in the sense that some of you have, but I have to impress not just the four elders here, but the congregation, because if that's the case, I'm gone. I work hard. I try. But sometimes what happens is we get so busy with everything else that sometimes the works of the gospel and the things we're supposed to do to spread the gospel of the kingdom gets overlooked and overshadowed. This verse that we had on the screen at the very beginning is a sobering one. Because Jesus is reminding us that the harvest is ready. It's not a lack of people who need to hear the gospel. It's a lack of people who are willing to go teach it. Who are willing to go live it so that other people can see it. I often wonder, if I had to sit down with Jesus for a job interview, and he told me the work that was about to be done. If he says, I have a job available to you. You need no experience. There's no schooling requirements and you don't need a degree. However, you won't get benefits. In fact, you won't really get paid at all. You won't get sick days or vacation days. There's a lot of work to do. And when you finish one pile, another pile is going to start right back up. Once you feel like you're almost done, we're going to tack some more work onto you. There's no retirement. You will most likely work until the day you die if you do the job correctly. A lot of people who start this job, once they start it, they find out they don't really like it, so they end up quitting. But it's your job if you want it. I wonder what I would say to him if he offered me that job. Because what that job is the job of being a follower of Christ. And sadly, too many people have looked at this job of going out into the harvest. And we've said, that's not the job I want. But it's the job that Jesus needs us to do. I appreciate Bert's talk this morning because sometimes we just need to remember that the Lord has done so much for us. And now he's asked for laborers, workers, to go build his kingdom, to reap the harvest, to go teach and live the gospel. How many of us are ready to do that? How many of us are ready to sacrifice maybe some of the comforts of this life so that we could teach the gospel that will give us eternal life? How many of us are ready, myself included, to stop making excuses, to put myself out there and say that the harvest is ready, I'm going to be a laborer. It's time. This starts now. This starts today. This starts tomorrow when you go to work, when you go to school. Take a look at the people and say, how many people are there that need to hear the gospel? And what can I do? Yes, it might seem insurmountable at times to look at how many people. I'll never forget flying back home to see Mom and Dad one time. You just see all the millions of people. I thought, my goodness, it hit me up there in that plane. There are millions of people that need the message of Jesus. They're not going to get it unless people like you and me start working in the fields, start bringing those sheep back home. Maybe you're one of those sheep here today. You're one of those, as Jesus described, they're lost, they're weary, they're scattered, they need help. Maybe this is your opportunity to come home and realize that God has done so much for us. He's given His Son to die for us, and you want to give your life to Him. You want to be buried in the waters of baptism so you can have that forgiveness of sins and you could start walking in newness of life. Maybe you're one of those sheep that have obeyed the gospel yet went astray. And you're ready to come back. You're ready to ask for forgiveness, maybe from the congregation or just from God. Maybe you need prayers and strength and you need studies. We're here to help you. But maybe you're sitting here this morning and you're like me. You just need to start fresh. You just need to get that fire going under us. To start moving forward, to start working, to start truly working in the Lord's kingdom. Then light that fire today. Don't wait until it's too late. Start now. Let's start living and teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you need anything this morning, come forward as we stand, as we sit.